When it comes to startups, India ranks third globally. It is estimated that by 2020, there will be 11,500 startups in the country. According to a NASSCOM report, 57% of the founders fall in the 26 to 35 years of age bracket. But all this is now. Santosh R. Shetty, 39, was one of the first past the post when he co-founded Neef Technologies, a part of the software services ecosystem, in 2005. He talks about growing up in socialist India, how McDonald's, once it opened up, was a hub of celebrity spotting in Bombay, and how the changing economic atmosphere gave him the confidence to take a leap into the unknown. Santosh, could you start by telling us about yourself?
So currently, I am a co-founder in a software company. I've been in the software industry for about 15 years, worked for about 4.5 years, and the rest of the time has been in this company that I co-founded. I come from, I would say, a middle-class background. Born and brought up in Bombay, stayed there for about 21 odd years, followed by 11 odd years in Bangalore, and then 5 plus years in Delhi. Graduated in engineering, followed by a post-graduation in computer science, and then an MBA from a management institute. What else?
Tell me about your growing up years.
So my father essentially came from a business background. So we have a restaurant in Bombay that he set up on his own. Mother was a homemaker and lived in a, I would say, a upper middle class neighborhood with the emphasis a lot on academic achievement, but on more, I would say, because of the social environment that we were in, and also that was the thing to do. And so both my father and mother, because of their circumstance, did not have an access to a lot of education. So the emphasis was clearly that their kids, all three of us, needed to get educated. We went into one of the best schools in our area, Parletriak Vidyalaya. It was, I think, more driven for me because I was aware that A, my peers were all good in academics, and also I did not see myself fitting in to the kind of business, or rather the way in which the business was being run. I mean, I used to spend my free days at our hotel, but me and my father used to be at constant loggerheads in terms of how the business needs to be run.
What was
simple
this time?
Things. I think education and exposure lead to a lot of nuance when you're conducting your business, and if you lack that, as my father lacked it, because not that he was not an intelligent man, but he was not exposed to finance, money management, or I would say organization. It made a lot of difference in the day-to-day skirmishes that he had to get into to just keep the business running. So I never saw myself doing that.
Was there a financial fallout to this?
If you're not educated financially and you're taking high interest bearing loans to finance A, your larger extended family's welfare, and also a business which is going through the wrong kind of cycles, then it exposes you to a lot of stress in terms of payback, lots of tough times in terms of making, I would say, not ends meet, but letting go of going into the right kind of coaching classes. Those kind of decisions had to be compromised on. So that led to a lot of stress domestically and also in the business.
So what were the academic options that were available to you?
So the environment that I grew up in, Bombay, suburban Bombay to be precise.
This is in the 80s?
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. The emphasis was more on achieving a certain degree which would lead to better prospects, and in my circle it was you either became an engineer or a doctor, or if you are supremely focused in the commerce background, you became a CA, or you were a loser. So I have had friends who have joined fine arts and done reasonably well, but those were the ones who were like supremely focused, and I would say had a lot more guidance and exposure from their parents. Most of us were, I would say, first generation high achievers in terms of academics. A lot of my extended friend circle, we would have been the first engineers or doctors in our family. Also, there was a lot of drive from our parents, so that even though they are working as bank clerks or bank managers, that their kids get to the next rung in the academic achievement ladder, and then those opportunities open up for them.
So being an engineer or a doctor was the next rung on the ladder to a better life.
A ticket to the higher rung. I mean, if you look at my society now, a large part of the demographic is parents who have stayed behind, but all their kids are in the US. Or I would say 70% of my friends do not stay in Bombay. They are distributed across Bangalore, Singapore, the US.
And how would you say their family circumstances have changed over the years?
Everybody's done reasonably or fairly well. In terms of demographic, I would say they're all extremely well-to-do or wealthy, so to say now.
Which was not the state that parents came from?
I don't think so. I mean, I distinctly remember there were queues for milk. There used to be Horlicks, which was bought in Russian. Not everybody had TVs. We were lucky enough to have a TV and a color TV at that, when we were doing fairly well as a family. And I still remember neighbors coming to our house to make telephone calls till like the late 80s, because the phone used to take 7 years to appear. Ambition was bountiful, but resources were not.
Which engineering college did you go to?
In Bombay at that time was that there were a lot of private engineering colleges which had opened up. So I went to a college in New Bombay.
This I'm presuming is again early 90s period, right? And India has started changing a lot by that
this
time.
This is 95 to 99 years.
Tell us about that time.
Yeah, I mean, those are lost years. A lot of changes taking around. So there was this complex web of us being in a state where we did not have a lot of liquidity. If you went
as a family.
As a family and also as a group of kids, I remember we had this gang of 20 guys who would go to Bandra to see what the financially well-off people are doing. There's this place called Linking Road where a lot of these foreign brands were setting up shops. McDonald's had arrived and celebrity spotting at McDonald's was a big thing. I remember seeing Malaika Arora Khan. It was quite an experience. There were a lot of these brands that we getting aware of but were in no position to afford. I remember Michael Jackson coming to India.
This is the famous trip when he went to Thackeray's.
Balasaheb Thackeray's house and used his toilet seat. Yeah. And in retrospect, I think a ticket to Michael Jackson's concert was $1,500. I remember asking many of my friends for loans so that I could...
Did you go for it?
No, I couldn't go for it. $1,500 was a lot of money and yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest regrets that I have. I was very kicked when he announced this is it tour, and in circumstance, I was thinking maybe I'll do a trip to a foreign country and see it, but then he OD'd on some silly thing and passed away. They were a little frustrating times in terms of being exposed to affluence and not being able to even know whether you'll ever be able to afford it, right from shoes to other things. So, but we were also seeing more examples of the first set of my friends who had done academically well, who were doing these 2-month courses in what I would term as, you know, fairly fly by the night operator kind run coaching classes, and then landing like 20k, 25k salaried jobs in the TCSs and the Putneys of the world and going abroad. And I still remember this cousin of mine had a laptop which weighed like 20 kgs, but we were like so enamored that here is a machine which did not need electricity to get powered all the time. Access to computing was a big thing. Yeah, so there was this day when I was downloading, I read about a very good strategy, a war game on the iPad, and I downloaded it and I started playing it. But when we were kids in college, that is when the first versions of Warcraft had come out. And I remember one of my friend's elder brother had a computer at home. It was a big thing. And we used to take a train, change 2 buses, reach his house, wait outside while his brother finished his important work. And then we used to get to play 1 hour of Warcraft. And in a gap of 15 years, I could get a much more sophisticated game on a handheld device at the snap of a finger. So I think people in my generation, I always feel, will have perspective as to how tough it was to get access to resources which would liberate you.
You think that this access is also mostly because of the technological advances we've made, or is it because of the markets that opened up in 90s?
I think it's more about how the exposure just ended us giving people more room for thought and ambition, and people like us benefited because of that. If that had not happened, if the cross-pollination in terms of people from India finding it easier to go abroad and investment coming into India becoming relatively easier, I think that created sort of a groundswell which snowballed into all the effects that we are seeing now. So I guess it's more to do with people starting to believe first and then starting to dream. So believe, dream, and then maybe fly, which is what a lot of people are doing now. But I guess when you come through so much scarcity in terms of resources, avenues, your thoughts being curbed, your actions being questioned, and then when you find so much, so many avenues, it leads to a lot more change than saying that just coining the term economic liberalization at that point of time and what happened. It's very difficult to quantify in terms of what it did to people. I distinctly remember people becoming much more positive, shedding a lot of inhibitions in terms of change and stuff which needs to get done.
This is not just because of financial security, but like you said, cross-pollination, the expanding of horizons.
Yeah, I think just gaining access to a lot of stuff makes such a hell of a difference, right? I mean, if you just take music as an example, when we were in school, we would hear of an English song doing well, go to a person in Ville Parle station, give him 13 songs by calculating how much minutes they were and ask him to record it for us and then go back and hear it. From there to go to a CD took us such a long time. But then the leapfrog from a CD to a micro USB to a USB device to now iTunes has been within the space of 4 years. So technology and then being able to adapt and improvise with what you have access to, that change will just keep happening faster and faster, and maybe those were the events which gave impetus to all this.
Tell me about the first 4 years of your working.
I worked in a product company called Talisma, which was one of the few products which was being made for the world but out of India. So I got exposed to a lot more, I would say, nuances of software development, and that gave me a lot of confidence. Joined another startup which did remarkably badly, but gained a lot more perspective on what needs to get done. So me and my co-founder took a lot of lessons from there as to what doesn't work and tried to apply it to our company.
And what gave the idea of you starting? Was it something you always wanted to do?
Coming from a business family, and the idea was always to start something of your own. IT services was, I would say, the laziest bet that we could take. And frankly for us, I think rather than what all IT services companies did, we did not become everything for everybody. Through sheer stubbornness or arrogance or whatever you may call it, we ended up sticking to a fair niche of web, mobile and cloud software. At the end of the day, that stubbornness and the idea that we will deliver everything offshore and have no onshore presence just to prove the model helped us get acquired.
And how old were you when you did this?
So I must have been 28, 29.
And 29. What year was this?
This was 2005.
And you were earning pretty comfortably at that
point. Yeah, we were getting paid a fair bit. I mean, I would say at that time, maybe we were in the 99th percentile of whatever a similar software engineer would ever get paid in Bangalore.
Financially, have there been tough time since you launched your company? Or
time where we launched the company, 2005, it was not, I would say, very fashionable to be an entrepreneur as it is now. Access to everything from customers to guidance to mentorship to capital principally was almost absent. Because the Indian economy doesn't have people who have done a lot and then have become mentors. The problem when we started was that it was fairly stupid of and reckless of us to have given up such cushy, high-earning jobs to start something on our own. So that was the risk we were taking. But the confidence was that if things massively failed for 3-4 years, you could always go back, because this was not 2008 yet, so we had not seen shit really hit the fan again.
And was this an attitude a lot of your colleagues and contemporaries had?
A lot of my colleagues who were ambitious enough were taking these kind of risks.
And during this time, how is it that you've seen the attitude towards money, entrepreneurship, business change?
Hugely. What I have found demographically is that there is this new bunch of whom I have the liberty now of calling kids, who come from fairly secure better financial backgrounds, because their parents, mostly it is a double income single kid or that kind of a demographic, have then created a base of, I would say, financial security for the kids to take more and more chances with their talent. I think that was hugely absent during our times. The people who were taking risks were the people who were actually being reckless about putting everything on the line and going for it. I think the generation which is becoming entrepreneurs now, which is why you find the age of people taking chances, you know, tending more towards early adulthood, right? So if in my age group, we were early at 28, 29, the reasonable chance that a person would take risk was when he was 35. But now you have kids who are doing it at 22.
In terms of the attitude towards work, professionalism, ambition, could you talk about changes that you've experienced within yourself and that you've seen coming?
I guess ambition has also got a lot to do with the macro environment that you are in. In our parents' generation, trying to get a job and actually being secure in it and then flourishing in it would be a lifetime. In our generation, the time I graduated, because of the booms that we saw, I mean, it was fairly clear that if we had a solid work ethic in place, the opportunities are endless. In the current generation, cynically, I feel that if you just have the talent in place and the right kind of ambition, most of the things will work out for you, because I would say opportunities are following kind of like a logarithmic scale on the upward side, right? So the market is ready to give the valuations that would make you at least wealthy on paper, if nothing else.
What would be the equivalent of engineering and medicine professions today?
In this generation, I don't think educational qualifications will matter as much. I do feel for sure that what our parents could achieve through sheer dint of hard work and change their social orbit, maybe we were able to do it with a combination of education, intellectual capacity being applied, and hard work. You know, I call the new poverty as access to information and speed of access to that information. So I am feeling that enough barriers and divides due to purely economic and locational circumstances are being built now. Like a kid who's in the rural parts of India, if he does not have the kind of access to information and knowledge that a kid in the urban part of India will have, there'll surely be a huge gap which just hard work cannot help him bridge, him or her bridge.
Would you say that your rural counterpart could have bridged that gap?
During my time, if he had gone to the right college, he could have just done it. But now, and I'm seeing it in a, what I would say, a strata of society which is one degree below me, that if they don't have the right kind of guidance, their life choices would be curtailed in such a way that they can't bridge that gap.
And what do you mean by guidance?
Let's take an example of the maid who's working in our house. She has a kid who's doing very, very well in their village school in somewhere near Sikandra in Uttar Pradesh. We convinced the kid that even though he was studying in Hindi medium till 10th standard, he should come to a college in Delhi, take a refresher course in English and do his education from here, because he would have been at a different level if he had continued here. But the kid did not make that choice. He stayed there, and he has uncles and whoever guiding him that if he stays there and works over there, maybe they'll get him a government job. But if he could have come to Delhi, got an exposed to a lot more stuff happening more rapidly and increased his assimilation of that knowledge and gone into a different sphere, I don't see him ever, because of those life choices that he's making, given the guidance that he has, ever making that shift of working in a private enterprise ever. I see it a lot because I'm exposed to manufacturing through whatever my friends and in-laws. I see people not being able to bridge that gap. I sincerely believe that the gap is widening.
Would you say you're a product of India's liberalization policies?
I would definitely say that my life has been hugely benefited by that. I also feel is that getting that done, just the burgeoning effects of that will help a huge swath of people.